Prior to that, we were already starting to lead worship together. And I'm going to try not to cry. I know this man's heart, and he is here to share that heart with you today. He is a teacher at heart and loves to share the things that he has learned. And I pray that your hearts would be stirred this morning as you open your heart to hear what he has to say and what he has prayed about. And what I think that God has probably been putting on his heart for some time now. He has an aversion to standing up here. And so things kind of build. And I hope that he's able to share everything that he wants to share this morning. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Can you all hear me? My voice is a little bit on the raspy and going away side. I've been told that if you sing properly, that you don't sing your voice out. And so I was told quite bluntly, somebody one time here said, you don't sing from the right place. You don't sing from here, you sing from here. And I say, I am what I am. I've tried. But sometimes I get carried away. I've been thinking a lot about foundations lately. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, by the way, is the title of the message and the newly retitled song that we just sang. I realized that the other title didn't say anything about the song, and when I looked at my index of songs, it didn't give me a clue what it was. Needed to retitle it. And we sang all around the idea this morning of foundations and of Jesus Christ being the rock of our faith, the rock of our hope, of our confidence. I've watched as the cultural values and norms that I grew up with, I've watched as they've been stood on their heads. I've watched as the core doctrines of Christianity have been vilified by the world and softened or flipped outright by many in the church world. They've walked it back on things that we've held to be essential, fundamental, for over 2,000 years. They've abandoned it for modern philosophies and ideals and values and conformed so that they could attract a few more people into the church. I read an article a few years ago by a man named Bishop Spong. Don't read him. It was a long time ago, and I don't do this stuff anymore. But I read an article that he had written. He'd come to a point in his life where he no longer believed any of the tenets of the faith. He had abandoned everything. He did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He did not believe in the atoning work of the blood of Jesus Christ. He did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did not believe in anything that would define us as Christian. The purpose of his article was to defend him still calling himself Christian. Now, the only way that you could still be called Christian is to completely redefine the word. But the problem is, when you redefine words, you know what it means, but nobody else does. Right? And so it means something to you and it means something to them. And some people may embrace you because you're still Christian and say, well, he might have something worth listening to. But in fact, he did not. But he wanted to defend himself. There was an article in the Modesto Bee years and years ago now. The headline caught my attention. It was called A Noble Lie. This man proposed that since we can no longer believe any of the religious face of the world, we can no longer embrace any of the moral values that society has held for hundreds and hundreds of years, that we need some elite people to get together and pound out a noble lie, a construct that would be so appealing that it would draw people to it and they would conform to its values and society could then therefore live in harmony. It wasn't an original idea. Plato talked about it several 4,000, 5,000 years ago, whenever it was. The noble lie. Knowingly propagating a lie and encouraging others to follow after that lie. It reminds me of a song that we sang when we were children in Sunday school. The song of the wise and the foolish man. How many knows it? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. He built his house on the rock, Justin. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And the rains came down. The floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. The next verse says, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as your prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord. I'm talking about foundations this morning. Obviously, we know what a physical foundation is. We're in a room, we're in a building that was built on a foundation. I know. I helped with the trenches. I dug the second spade of dirt for this building with a golden shovel. Wow. There was nothing golden about the rest of the trip, let me tell you. But we set forms, we poured concrete. Glenn Green got on one side of a 2x4, and I got on the other side, and we pulled screed. Anybody that's ever watched concrete work, they're pouring it in. People are shoveling concrete into the low spots, and you got a 2x4, and you're pulling it and flipping and pulling and flipping, and you're leveling it out. And then someone else comes along with a bull float. Always like that, a bull float. You know, tamped it down, and then they came in with the trowels, and they worked it smooth. You might feel a lump here or there. I didn't pull the screed good enough in that spot. Built on a foundation. You cannot expect a house or a building to be safe and to last if there's no foundation. Or if the foundation under it is substandard. Have you ever watched one of those fixer-upper shows where they buy a house, they start tearing everything out to rebuild, and then all of a sudden they discover, oh my goodness, this foundation will not do. And they have to spend unexpected dollars on pouring a better foundation. You seen that? That is manufactured drama. They knew before they bought the house, if they have any sense at all. All right, so you're disillusioned. No, they wouldn't do that. Yes, they did. They build drama. You look, when it's an old house, you look. If you're in Louisiana and you're buying an old house, you look, because they built them on stones. They didn't build them on concrete reinforced with iron. You can also have non-physical foundations. an idea or a philosophy or a code that a group or society or culture would have. A foundation could also be a goal or a purpose for why certain groups exist and form the basis for their existence. And of course, each individual has a foundation for his own beliefs and behaviors. There's a foundation there for everyone. But not all foundations are the same. And not all paths lead to truth. I threw that in. That's extra. Some of our foundations are simply the way we grew up. Some of the neighborhoods I grew up in, the children were raising themselves because the parents were either at work or they were partying or both. And so they just kind of grew up willy-nilly, haphazardly. And so you have a foundation that's just kind of jumbled together. If you ever watch Alone, look at the way some of those folks built their shelter. And it's a good thing they're going to tap out in 30 days because it ain't going to work. You don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. The foundation, you build the walls. You put the roof. You design it so that you can find safety and shelter and refuge in this place. But if it has been built precariously, it will not give us the support we need. What of us Christians? What is the basis for our faith? What determines our goals and our purposes in life? To what do we measure the rightness of a thought or an action or a value? Do I compare my code of conduct, my way of living, with Justin's? He's got a good one. Or David's? Been around a long time and it's worked so far, right? Do I compare it with his? Do I compare it with the best example I know in this room, Debbie? Or any other room for that matter? We compare and we measure against the cornerstone. Amen? The cornerstone. In Isaiah chapter 28, verses 16 through 17, it says, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and attested stone." Hallelujah. It's a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. It's safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. I will test you with the measuring line and the plumb line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness. But since you have made your refuge in lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it is made of deception, a flood will sweep it away. We're living in that world today. I remember in the 70s, a lot of the sitcoms that were on, with Archie Bunker. All in the Family and other stuff. And they took great delight in the fact that they were pushing the envelope. Well, the envelope needed to be pushed in our society in certain ways. But the truth of the matter is the people that are in Hollywood have an agenda. And they're always pushing the envelope. They're always wanting to slip one more thing by the auditors, by the people that say, no, you can't put this on the air, or yes, you can. They always want to go a little bit farther. That's what our world wants to do. When I was growing up, some of the kids that I grew up with, we would talk about certain things and go, well, you know, just, oh, yeah, you could do this, but if you did this, you shouldn't do this. And we were seeing how far away we could get from the plumb line. We're seeing how far, how much we could get away with within the parameters of being children of Christian people. Right? I've lost. Oh, my goodness. What have I done here? The cornerstone. I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone, a precious cornerstone. So what is a cornerstone? It's the first stone that is set in the construction of a masonry foundation. Once the cornerstone has been set, it's the basis for every determining, it's the basis, excuse me, for determining every measurement in the remaining structure. Everything was aligned to the cornerstone. Everything found its definition in this one piece, the cornerstone. As the cornerstone of the building of the church, Jesus Christ is our standard of measurement and alignment. I don't measure my life against David's, although I could if he says, follow me as I follow Christ, like Paul did, that would be fine. And I find admirable things in his character and in his ideals, in his beliefs, and in his faith, and in just his determination to live for the Lord. And so to the extent that he is following Christ, then I align my life, right? But ultimately, we need to know that it lines up with the cornerstone. Paul went to a certain place and he preached. I'm hurrying now. I'm really hurrying now. Oh, my goodness. And he preached. What did they do? They went home and searched the scriptures to see if he was telling the truth. Did he come, when they came back, did he say, how dare you doubt me? No. He said that they were of more noble character than others because they searched diligently to see and to make sure that what he was saying was true. We got a lot of folks on TV with big hair and nice suits that say all kinds of things about Christ and Christianity. I'm not going to tell you what you can do with all of that stuff, but you better line it up with the cornerstone. Because Christ and the writers of the New Testament spent more time writing about people within the church that were deliberately practicing to deceive people than they did any other thing. Over and over and over, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. Over and over and over, we are told that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. So that means they're within the fold. And they are seeking to devour. Okay. Jesus is to be our standard. It's how you know if something is straight or true. This precious cornerstone is a stone that was hewn out of a mountain of stone, limestone, sandstone, I can't remember which. There is one stone in the Western Wall in Jerusalem that is 45 feet long, 16 feet wide, and 11 foot tall. One stone weighs 600 tons, they estimate. A stone of that size is from that back wall to right here. From that edge of the pew to almost the edge of that pew, and as high as to the top of the clock back there. I measured it. You don't believe me? I brought my measuring tape. You can double check me. That's a big rock. Amen? The walls of the temple were so thick. They were so tall. There was so much weight bearing down on that foundation that it had to be true. It had to be true. Jesus is the lens through which we filter everything else. He's the cornerstone of our worldview. The cross of Jesus Christ is the reference point to make sure that our interpretation of events surrounding us or in line with what is good and what is right? The events around us? Can you determine what is good and right by examining the cornerstone? Yes, you can. I have here seven of the I am statements of Christ. I don't have time to read them right now. Let me say they are good. But we need a cornerstone. We need a foundational stone. Because all kinds of stuff is being thrown at us from every direction. What was good yesterday is bad today and will be worse tomorrow. You're going to get canceled. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. You're going to have your job taken away from you. You're going to have your children taken away from you. All kinds of other things. Fear-mongering and lying and lying and lying. And tossing out everything that is good and right. But there is a foundation that is laid. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. We build on Him, we will not be shaken. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, too, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We need a cornerstone that is level. We need a cornerstone that is a perfect rectangle or square. We need a cornerstone without any flaws in it. A noble lie will not work because it will be rifled through with flaws. Is that a right word? It'll be thoroughly marbled with flaws. But there is a cornerstone that is flawless. There are no cracks. There are no stress fractures. There are no humps. There are no cavities. It is a precious cornerstone that has been tried and has been tested and that will test, is testing our lives and trying our lives and shaping our lives and fitting our lives so that they will fit into this building that is being erected to the glory of God. Fit it in with the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ. What an amazing privilege. It struck me how amazing it is, Justin, that you could be a rock. You could be a dressed stone fitted into a building together with the prophets of the Old Testament, with Abraham and with Isaiah and with some of the other ones whose name has escaped me now, with the apostles and with Jesus Christ. Over here, Jesus Christ, Daniel, Paul, Justin, all fitted together for one purpose, to be a temple for the Most High God. You think it matters what we believe? Do you think it matters how we behave? Do you think it matters what our value system is? One day I went into a store, and as I walked up to pay for my food, the person in front of me took his money and he started walking out. And as he did so, I had this sense that there was something on the floor. I looked down and there was a pile of 20s. I picked it up, I looked at it, I watched that guy walking out. I knew it didn't belong to the teller, so I walked outside. The guy was already in his car, had the window down, he was starting to back out, and I said, excuse me, sir. He didn't want to stop. I said, excuse me, sir, have you lost something? He said, no. I said, why don't you check? Why don't you open your wallet and see if you've lost anything? He opened it up and he goes, oh, yeah, I think I'm missing some money. I said, how much? He said, about 100. I handed it to him. I said, you dropped it in there. He put the car in reverse, backed out, and drove away. He didn't say thank you. And I didn't care. I felt like I could not have done anything other than what I did. As I turned to walk back in the store, there was a teenager sitting on the hood of a car. He looked at me. He goes, cool. Cool. I told that story at work, and the guy said, you should have kept the money. That's my point this morning. If I'd have kept that money, I would have spent it a long time ago. But it would still be costing me today. Amen? I tried to keep it as short as I could. We're done. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Measure everything against him. Read his word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One of the I ams of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the door. There is no other door. There are not many pathways that lead to truth. And truth is not subjective. Truth is truth. Regardless what you think or say or feel, truth is truth. It is absolute. What a narrow mind I have. It's because I care about the direction I'm headed in. If every path leads to truth, I'm going to walk on this one for a while. Then I'm going to hop over and go on this one. I'm going to go on that one. I'm never going to get anywhere. Right? Or if I do get anywhere, it's not going to be where I want to be. We need to focus in like a laser on Jesus Christ. He is the plumb line. Well, we don't have that one up here anymore, do we? The plumb line and the measuring line of justice and righteousness. Isn't that good? Everything measures back to the cornerstone. And as long as we keep measuring back to the cornerstone, we will get on line. I helped build a house in Mexico, or a dental slash medical clinic building. They stuck me on one wall with some paneling and said, stretch a line from there to there and set the panels to that line. Well, the way I did it was this is the way I would do it, because I'm not a carpenter, but I can do a lot of things. I would set one up there. I would make sure that it was level. I would drive a couple of nails and make sure that it lined up right between the studs. And then I would set the next one against it and make sure again that it was level, and I'd go across. Five panels later, I'd be done and I'd be good. But because a professional told me to set it to a line and walked away, I set it to a line, and while I was putting up the first piece, someone knocked the nail a little bit loose, and it had a sag, and I didn't know it. And every single panel got a little farther off. It was a mess, and I was mad at myself. I was embarrassed in front of all these professional construction people, and I was disgusted that this building was not being built properly. I care about how this house is being built. I care so much that one time we had a guest speaker here, and at the end, he was knocking people down when he was praying for them. Now, whatever you may believe about people falling out in the spirit, that was not the spirit. He had a technique, and he was knocking people down. I walked up to him, and I said, you stop that. You stop that. He didn't knock down another person. The pastor was over praying for somebody. It was kind of his job to do this, but then he was praying for somebody, and so I figured now it's kind of my job to do this. Someone would be there, he was praying for him, and it's really good when their feet are together. I'm a skeptic, so I always do this. You can't knock me down with your technique. The Lord can knock me down if he wants to. He can lay me out. He never has, but he could. Right? He is almighty. And that pivot foot and that anchor foot right there don't matter. This guy, he was taking people who would stand like that. He'd put one hand here, another one there, and he would do this. And they would go off balance and you'd pull them right off down. I don't appreciate that kind of stuff. I care what's being built. You care what's being built. That's why you're here when there are less than 20 people here. That's why you come out and pray. That's why you get together and eat together and do the other things that we do together. Because something is being built for the Lord. We have a new family coming in, new pastor, new pastor's wife. I'm excited about what God is going to do. I'm not going to compare it to things that used to be. I'm going to compare it to the cornerstone and see if it lines out. And when it lines out, we put another stone in the wall, right? Amen. Let's all stand. If you feel like you have gotten out of alignment with the cornerstone in any way, I would like for someone to pray with you. I'd like to ask you to come right now to the front, and Pastor Purnell, Brother David, will pray with you. And if not, let's all just lift up this one prayer, shall we? I know everyone that's here. I know where your heart is, and I know that I can't ask this. If anyone here does not know the Lord, because I know everyone here knows the Lord, I'm looking forward to the days ahead of us, the minutes ahead of us, where we will say, anyone that does not know the Lord and would like to come to Him today, would you come forward? And we will have altar calls, and we will have prayer, and we will see babes come to Christ, and we will see the wall built. Amen? But if you are a little bit out of plumb, anybody know what a plumb line is? Take a string with the weight on the bottom, and when you drop it, when it quits moving around, it's dead level. It is straight up and down. You can't build a wall that's all over the place. You need a straight wall. You need a measuring line. You need a level. I helped build a room one time without a measuring tape or a level, and let me tell you, I don't want anybody to ever see that building. I did not like helping build that room. I did not like it when the room was finished, and I did not ever want to see it again. But I want to be able to walk across the street and say, we have something here. We have something here that you can build your life on. Amen? I'm sorry we went so long. I don't know what I could have cut out. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for Jesus Christ, the cornerstone sent from heaven, bread of life, way, truth, and the life, the door. We thank you for the tested and tried and proven and sure and firm and safe foundation that is Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Old Testament, for the prophets who prepared the way for the coming of the Lord, for the apostles who explained the coming of the Lord and talked of its of the benefits of the new covenant. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who stands true through the ages, will never be shaken, we'll never crack, we'll never crumble, but we'll stand through, true, through the eons of time and beyond. Forgive us for any areas where we have drifted away. Bring us back in alignment in the things that we believe. It doesn't matter what we think. and we're not entitled to our own opinions. What we are entitled to is believing what thus saith the Lord. And when our opinions are not in alignment with it, they need to change, or we remain in our rebellion and in our sin. So, Lord, humble us. Purify us. Revive us, renew us, realign us, Lord God. And may we walk as people in a straight path, looking to you who are the light to our path. You are the light of the world. You are the one who lights the path before us. You are the one who shows us the way and says, walk you in this way. We need your word, and it is critical that we interpret it correctly. We need to sing songs that are true to the cornerstone. There are songs that might sound good or feel good, but do not measure up. There is a flaw, and so we put it aside because there are so many that are not. We don't sing songs because we think they're cool. We sing songs that glorify God and instruct us as we work together on the building. We do not say what we think, what we would like to say at work when someone disrespects us, does something that is unkind or unjust. We don't try to get even, but we remember what Jesus said about turning the other cheek. We remember what the word says about a soft answer that turns away wrath. And we align our behaviors and our attitudes with the cornerstone. We thank you, Lord, that when we do that, we will not be shaken. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay.